I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to say to you, as we're turning to these verses, that we are turning to this portion of Scripture, having talked about all the things we have. Homicides, crimes, abuses, betrayals, rejections, maybe abandonment. There's just, unfortunately, no end to the list. So I'm telling you that I come to you with the courage, with some fear and trepidation, but with the courage to tell you that these verses still fit, and I say this to you with just trembling in my soul, these verses still fit in every single one of those categories. We've already in our last series been talking about offenses. We're not talking about offenses here. We're talking about something deeper than that. We're talking about the kind of offense that devastates. And I want you to see these verses out of Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 9 through 15. Very, very familiar passages. It says, "This then," this is Christ talking to his disciples, "this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the most common prayer of the church, and rightly it should be. But let me tell you what we're risking anytime we've got this kind of familiarity, that we could just say something by rote and not get what it's saying. And what it's about to say is huge. It says in verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." Meet my daily needs. Not tomorrow's need today, but today's need today. And it says in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts," and it's the same word we often find for sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." That is rough. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Listen, in the kind of context we're talking about today, this almost seems cruel. We'd have guts enough to bring up this passage in terms of what we've just been talking about. But listen, either it's going to speak a word to us or it's not true. The fact that it's laying there on the page of Scripture, God breathed, tells us that it's truth. And I don't know about you, but I need to know what this means, because that bothers me. Would anybody else have guts enough to say that? After what some of us have been through, I'm going to tell you something. That bothers me. And what I need you to know is it is not negating. Somebody needs to stay with me here. Let's have a doctrinal moment here. It's not negating the power of the cross. All of our sins, past, present, and future, went to the cross of Christ with him. They've all been nailed to the cross, and he has dealt with every single one of them. All of them are forgiven when we place our trust in him as our personal Savior. So it's not negating any of that. But what we're going to learn is that the word that's being used for forgiveness here, part of it means, I don't want to give away too much of it now because we're going to move toward it a little bit later in our series, but part of it means to hold on to something. And what God is saying to us, he's using the same terminology back. He said, "I'm going to tell you what, it is so important to me to force the issue of forgiveness that what I'm going to tell you is this. As long as you're hanging on to that, I'm going to hang on to this." In other words, that's still an issue for you. Well, this is still an issue for me. So I'm not going to release you out from under that until you release that person out from under that. Why? So I can coax you into making a very important move. Is that making sense to anybody? Doesn't mean that it wasn't paid for on the cross of Christ. It means he's going to hang on to it. He's going to hang on to it. It will remain an issue as long as the other remains an issue. How many lessons on forgiveness, if you've been in Christian circles for long, how many have you heard? I mean, have you heard? Have we done it? Sometimes do we even dread the pastor bringing it up because we think, not that again. And the reason why we think not that again is because, you know what? I'm not going to. I shouldn't have to. And if you had any idea what I've been through, you know, what am I saying? Each heart has its own bitterness. You don't have any idea. You're not me going through that. I don't have to. I don't want to hear it. Very reason why some people don't go to church. Yet what we've got to understand, if If we're going to forgive, there are a couple things we have got to get through our heads. And the first one is this. We have got to understand that forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us. You never even have to wonder if you have a stronghold or area of captivity, if you've got unforgiveness in your life. I promise you, you flat do. It is itself a stronghold. Now, let's remember together what a stronghold is. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, as it begins to describe a stronghold, it talks about any exalted thought process. All it takes to qualify as a stronghold is that I become mentally hung up with it, where I play, replay, 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 over and over and over and over again, that it is a hang-up to me. That's all it takes. Unforgiveness is a hang-up every single time. It has become an obsessive way of thinking, an exalted way of thinking, and we need freedom from it. When God pushes the envelope and says, I tell you what, I'm going to put you in the position where you have got to consider forgiving. And I'm willing to do the hard thing to get you to meet me on this page. I believe that's exactly what God is telling us. It is for us. Now, listen, I saw something this time that I have never grabbed onto before. I love that about the study of Scripture. Stare back on your page in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to notice something. Verse 12 is about forgiveness. Verse 13 says these words. I've prayed these words for my family so many times. So I can't tell you, I've named them, starting with my husband, all the way down through my daughters, my son-in-law, myself. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. But pick up on verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And whoa, 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 whoa. It was the first time I realized that that verse that I say continually, and it really is a word that means do not abandon me to temptation. So let me be overtaken by it. Not that he appoints us to it, but don't let me be overtaken by it. Now listen carefully. It was the first time it occurred to me. It is sandwiched between two verses and two segments on forgiveness. What does that mean? I mean, when they're sandwiched between it, it's just one. It's in context. Somebody say it's in context.
It's in context.
It's in context. I want to go back and look at that. Now remember, what's our first point? What have we got to understand? I want you to say it out loud to me. We got to understand that forgiveness is what? It's for us. It's for us. All right. How can you tell it in this particular context? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want you to camp on that, lead us not into temptation. Because here's what I got to tell you. This is a fresh word to me. I don't know. You might have heard it just yesterday from somebody else, but this is totally fresh to me. There is nothing that has the capacity to lead us into greater temptation than unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Listen, when we think we're unforgiven or when we won't forgive, either one of those will catapult us into a life of severe temptation. Things like anger and entitlement, something devastating can happen to us. We can have a spouse betray us and leave us for someone else, and we can get an idea of entitlement in our souls that just says, you know, I can sleep with who I want to. I can do anything I want to. I mean, my kids are going to have to deal with it. I got needs here. You hear what I'm talking about? We've been wrong, so how are we going to react to it? Every time we've been wrong, we are set up with a greater capacity to fall to temptation. Is that making sense to anybody? That entitlement. I get this. I get to do this after all I've been through. Get entitled to be mean. We can go through a hardship and just think, you know, people are going to have to deal with it. It's just how I am after what I've been through. I'd like to see them do it. See what I'm talking about? Anger, all these deep kinds of hurts. When an offense has come to us of a devastating matter, we will never be led more strongly into temptation than when we refuse to forgive somebody. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I have lived the truth of these passages. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to protect our minds and to just show us truth. Look at the words of Christ. It says that he was asked by his disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I want to read verses 2 through, I believe I'll go to 6. He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth. So he's telling us the truth. Somebody say he tells us the truth. I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, so he's got a child standing there that we already know must love him to be comfortable standing there in his presence while he talks. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That is rough. And let me say to somebody before they think something that is not true, God's forgiveness extends to all no matter what. There's somebody listening today that's been on the other side of this situation and has abused. And I want you to know God's grace as freely flows to you as it flows to any victim. All right, let me back up to something that I want you to see. Here's what I wanted to tread lightly on. Notice that it says in verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, dude, I can tell you exactly what that means because I have experienced it. I told you I have no idea the first time I was abused. No idea. But I will tell you this. When I began to grow up in all the dysfunction that I did, and I carried all of that with me, is anybody relating to what I'm saying? Until I dealt with it openly before God and began to work with Him through forgiveness, all in the world it did was cause me to sin. Now, here's the thing. When I came to repent of it and when I began to see how much I had reacted in my own sin, I cannot tell you how much capacity you have for all manner of sexual dysfunction when you have had the kind of background that I have. Doesn't make it my perpetrator's sin. My sin is my sin. He cannot repent for me. But I will tell you this, because of some of the hurts that happened to me, it made it a whole lot easier to take some of the paths that I did. Some of the self-destructive paths that I did. It's not an excuse, it's just a reality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because things can happen to you that can set you up for an overwhelming capacity to sin. Is that fair? I know that's hard, but is that fair? It's exactly what the Word of God's saying. I have lived it. I know this is true because it has been my personal experience. That's why the Word of God says, you forgive. In the context of, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, because I'm going to tell you, if I don't deal with it, not only am I going to be led into temptation, I am going to go barreling into a pit of sin. And then it's no longer that I was only a victim. Then I begin whole-scale stupidity. Can anybody but me go to that place? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It says then, glancing back at Matthew chapter 6, it says then, not only lead us not to temptation, but in that same context, sandwiched in between two portions of that prayer, talking about how we must forgive others, it also says lead us not into temptation, but deliver us what? Deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Listen, nothing has a greater capacity to hold us captive to the enemy than unforgiveness. Listen, that is his job. He has no greater agenda than that. So we are automatically in his grip, not infiltrated by him. If we're in Christ, we are sealed under the day of our redemption. We're told that two different times in the book of Ephesians, but he can play havoc in our lives. I want you to hear, you just sit tight, but I'm going to read you a couple of verses out of 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul says, and what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Let me tell you, that has really spoken to me, and it's something we're going to get into in a moment. But when I began to see that I could forgive in the sight of Christ, so it'd be something I could lay out before Him on the altar in the sight of Christ, and for the sake not only of myself, but the people that I live around, that my bitterness affects. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that make sure no one misses the grace of God by which many are defiled. And I'm paraphrasing that. But let me tell you something. Our bitterness is a gift that just keeps on giving. We will never keep bitterness to ourselves. That means we'll never keep unforgiveness to ourselves. It will have an impact on others. But what it goes on to say is this. This is what's so profound. It goes on to say, we've got to forgive in the sight of Christ for your sake in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Every time we refuse to forgive, Satan will outwit us and he will have a scheme. There's something that he's after, and unforgiveness is the path he takes to get us where he wants us.